Okay, it gives me great honor and great pleasure to introduce the man that was my Eskimo. They say when the student's ready, a teacher will appear, and Jason appeared. Come on, Jason.
Jason, alcoholic. Grateful to be clean and sober today by the grace of God, Program and Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a sobriety date. It's August 23rd, 2005. I have a sponsor. His name's Jim L. I have a grand sponsor. His name's Matt J. I love both of those guys. They're good friends of mine and have had my back for a long time. I have a home group. It's the Junkyard Dogs. We meet every Wednesday night in Santa Barbara at Veterans Memorial on Cabrillo Boulevard at 8 p.m. If you're a guy, you're invited to come check out our meeting, man. We'd love to have you. To this day, you know, what sums up the spirit of Alcoholics Anonymous is something that I heard once. I'm not going to mention last names because I'm not supposed to, but by an old dude that's been sober for a long time. His name is Johnny H., and he talks about getting things done that need to be done, doing it for free and doing it for fun. And for me, that sums up the spirit of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, when I was new, I remember I had like 6 months, and I got suckered into like secretarying this noon meeting in Santa Barbara, man, that like hardly anybody came to. And there were like people with time there, but they didn't want to do it. You know, they wanted me to do it. You know, and I'm like, all right. And like, man, like I got there early. I set everything up. I made the coffee. I was a treasurer. I got people to lead the meeting. I did everything at that meeting, you know. And like that taught me about service in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I felt kind of, and like some of those people that had time, they ended up on my resentment list because, you know, I couldn't figure out like, well, what the hell? Why, you know, they got time. How come they're not doing this shit, you know? How come it's me? I only got like 6 months. I don't know what's going on here. But now I see it differently. I mean, they were giving me an opportunity to get involved in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and learn how to be of service and find out what this whole thing was all about. You know, so a little resentful at them still maybe, yeah, but, you know, grateful at the same time. But like, you know, no one's immune from, you know, service in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, you may think you are because you have 20 years or whatever, but, and, you know, if you feel that way or you think that, feel free to continue forward and try that. But I'm not trying that because I know what's going to happen to me if I stop being of service or only do two sides of the three-sided triangle that's right up there. Or I selectively go, oh, well, I like the recovery part. Or, hey, I like the unity part, but, oh, I don't like the service part, you know. I mean, I know what's going to happen, you know. It's all, that triangle is all-encompassing. I got to be participating in all those things at a certain level, you know. A level that I'm comfortable. Let's see. So I grew up in Santa Barbara. I came from a pretty fragmented, broken home. My dad was an alcoholic. He was an angry guy. He was a blue-collar dude. My mom was an office worker. I had two younger sisters. And my dad liked to go out and get loaded most of the time at bars, and I rarely see him, and he's like, you're the man of the house, and I'm like 6 years old, you know, and I'm like, cool, got a gun, got a knife, got a baseball bat or something, you know, like, thanks for the help, you know, and that's kind of how it was. So I was all tense all the time and like scared and nervous and stuff. Okay, we didn't live, I mean, like Santa Barbara's a nice place, but the neighborhood we lived in, it wasn't that nice. There was things that happened there that were not cool, you know, and I was fearful and I couldn't sleep and stuff. And so my dad also was the first person that gave me a drink of alcohol, you know. And I went to a construction site with him one day, and I did a bunch, you know, I did some things he didn't like, or he told me to do some stuff and I wouldn't do it, and he punished me for it and kind of beat me up a little bit, roughed me up, and then told me, wow, if you could, you know, if you can take me roughing you up like that, well then, hey, you can have one of these tall boys, you know. And he opened it up and gave it to me. And he already kind of kicked my ass a little bit, so I was like, all right, I'm going to drink it, you know. I don't want to get hit anymore. So I took a drink, you know, and I didn't like the way it tastes, man, but, you know, I just kind of kept drinking it, and it made me, like, I liked the way it made me feel after about 10, 15 minutes, you know. kind of like lied to me and told me that like everything was going to be all right and made me feel a little bit more relaxed. But, you know, the fact of the matter was is that things weren't going to be all right, man, you know. I mean, I could be under the illusion that if I could get more my hands on some more alcohol and some more beer, I could continue that illusion that things were going to be all right. But they, and I tried that. I kept trying to like make everything all right with alcohol, but shit wasn't all right. Things weren't changing or getting better. It was bad, you know. And so for me, it's like, you know, to talk about another member who has some really, really powerful things to say, like Earl H. He talks about when he used to drink and use, man, he wanted to get out of right now, right now. And I can relate to that. Like, the last thing I want to do is be, you know, back then was to be in the now, man. I want to be somewhere else. Get me, like, I want to get out of this body and move the F on, you know, because, like, my life is terrible. I don't like my parents. I don't like the family I'm in. I don't like the world as I see it. You know, the as I see it part is very important because, you know, as I see it isn't necessarily, that's subjective. You know, it may not be as I see it, but that is how I see it. That is my reality. Right. And I'm not happy. I'm miserable. That's all I know is how to be miserable. And, you know, my dad, he like hangs out with car guys and biker guys and ex-cons. Those are my dad's friends. And the elder members of my family that are male, they're also ex-cons, you know, like. You know, I love my grandfather. He used to race class really old motorcycles. He was a motorcycle racer in the 30s and the 40s. You know, but something went wrong, man. Like he did something and he went to San Quentin when he was young. And he was in there for a really long time. And he got out for a period of time. And I got to see him for like a few weeks during that time. And then shortly after that, a couple weeks later, he went into Folsom Prison and he never got out. He died there. You know. So he was one of my role models. And then I have an uncle who's in like the biggest motorcycle club in the world, you know, and I look up to him, you know, but he doesn't want me to, but I do, you know. And so these are the kind of role models that I have are, you know, guys that go to prison, guys that are outlaw bikers, guys that are, you know, car guys, cholos, thieves, you know, treat women horribly. These are the guys that I know. And I think, well, okay, that's what it's like to be a man. That's how I guess I gotta be. So I emulate that lifestyle. Except for, you know, my dad, like he kind of like lays down the law for me and says, hey, you know, there's, you know, hey man, I don't got a lot of rules for you, but there's three rules here. One is don't go to prison. The other one is don't get anybody pregnant. And the third rule is graduate from high school. And I'm like, let me think about that for a while. And so anyway, I managed to like get through life. I don't get anyone pregnant that I know of. I don't go to jail. I went to jail, but briefly. I made a phone call and I skated and I walked out of there. And, I barely graduated high school. And so, I'm thinking, hey, man, I'm success. This is a success story right here, you know? And at that time, you know, all the way through high school, I drank a lot. I got introduced to marijuana, and that was boring. All I did wanted to eat pizza and go to bed, you know? So that didn't last too long. And then I got introduced to cocaine, and that was amazing for me. That was the best thing in my mind that ever happened to me. You know, the combination of, you know, ditching school early, my senior year, going to my rich buddy's house, sitting in the jacuzzi with a bunch of Coronas, and doing lines. If I could have just spent the rest of my life and had that work, that would have been pretty effing sweet for me, and I'd have been happy. But, you know, that it kind of like didn't go that way. You know, we my buddy dealt drugs, and we started kind of like getting close to get. We had an incident in Montecito where we got pulled over by the cops, and we almost got popped. And I was like, hey, I'm done. You know, this getting arrested shit, I can't do that. My old man, he will crack down on me if I do that. So I stopped doing cocaine, and I'm just like, hey, I'm going to just drink. You know, and so I just drank for a really long time. And, you know, I had a series of really shitty jobs. And like, I really, really hated my old man. I had this like love-hate relationship with him where it was weird. Like if you said, hey, how's your dad? I'd be like, I don't care. I don't know. You know, but deep down inside there was this like, hey, I wish my father accepted me, and somehow I'm going to get him to I'm going to get his approval one way or the other. Although I'm never going to tell you that, but that's how I felt inside, you know? And so I started like, I told my old man I didn't want to talk to him no more. He kind of like showed up in my life years later, and I gave him a chance, and I started to hang out with him and like get to know him a little bit, obviously on his terms. And we were always at bars and we were always drinking, you know? And so it was just a series of like, you know, going places with my old man and then doing shit to like impress him, like getting fist fights or whatever, get beat up, beat someone up, whatever, you know. And it wasn't my nature, but it was just something I was doing to like get my dad's approval for some stupid ass reason, you know. And it got to the point where I realized I didn't really need that. But the reason I mentioned my dad is because we used to go to this one bar, and at this bar, it was funny because I remember being like, I'm 29 and I'm just about, you know, to hit 30. You know, I've been like in numerous different relationships that always go south because for whatever reason, because I'm dishonest and I'm a cheater and I'm a liar and I'm a taker of things and a user of people, you know, even though like, again, I'm not going to tell you that. And I don't. And if you look at me, you don't think I'm that way. If you talk to me, you don't think I'm that way. But that's exactly what I am. Especially when you add alcohol and the cocaine mixture, that's what I am. I'm a taker. You know, I want your shit. I want it now. And I'll be your friend. I'll tell you whatever you want to hear so I can get that shit. You know, and that shit could be your money, your car, your wife, your girlfriend. It don't matter. If I've decided I want it, I'm gonna go after it. And I don't care how you feel or about the wreckage that's, you know, that's something to worry about later. You know, it's all about like achieving the goal and getting that thing I need. And so that, you know, that's how I was. And so I remember sitting there going like, okay, I'm gonna be 30 in a couple of days and things aren't going so good. And maybe I should get married. That'd be a good idea. I'm sitting at the bar telling my dad that, you know, and he's just all, yeah, whatever, you know. And so, and like, I'm all, yeah, I kind of like this one chick that works here. She's kind of cute, you know. And so that day I just decided, I'm all, yeah, I'm going to marry that chick right there. That seems like a good idea. And so about 8 months later, that's exactly what I did. I went to Vegas and got married to this chick that worked at my favorite bar, and it seemed like, what a beautiful thing, this is going to be great, you know? And, man, like, it kind of didn't turn out like that. You know, she liked to do the things I like to do, and we liked to argue when we were drunk and stuff, and we just do a lot of stupid stuff. Sometimes it was fun, but a lot of the time it was just bad, you know? And, you know, I had, like I told you, I had a bad history with women. I wasn't, you know, I didn't like slap them around or beat them up or nothing like that, but just, I was kind of like a verbally abusive dude. And like, I couldn't be trusted, you know? Like if a prettier girl got interested in me or came along, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, I'm going to go over here for a little while, you know, and do this thing. And that's just the way I was. But I said, hey, now I'm married, so I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm going to change. I'm going to change all this stuff, man. I'm gonna like learn how to drink like a normal person. I'm not going to do drugs anymore. And I'm going to be a loyal, good husband. And like for a while, I did pretty good at those things. I was managing and controlling my drinking. I wasn't messing around with any other women. I was being loyal, and I wasn't doing drugs, man. I felt uncomfortable on the inside. I felt like I was different from other people. I feel like I didn't really fit in. And I could act all confident on the outside, but really, man, I was terrified on the inside. But although another thing that I would never tell you, you know. And we would, you know, the drinking would continue, and we got into like really partying a lot and going to some when we go to this bar where we met, everything would be mellow because there's a bunch of old people there, and it was cool, you know. Like, they play jazz, and we just relax and have fun. But then we started going to some of the younger bars where it'd get a little more rowdy, and there's fights. And then all of a sudden, man, there was, like, this influx of cocaine in Santa Barbara. It was like, boom. It was, like, everywhere in a mall. You know, and I got tempted a couple of times. I'm like, ooh, that looks good. I kind of want to do that, you know. And I'm like, no. You know, but the no turned into yes, you know, and things changed. And next thing you know, man, all those bad habits are returning. You know, I'm with my wife, and I'm looking at this girl over here, you know, and I could disappear for a little bit, you know, and, you know, that, and then I'm unfaithful, and then everything changes, and then I'm just the same old, you know, I'm still that taker of things and a user of people, and that doesn't change. You know, and the marriage disintegrates, and I get kicked out of the house, and I'm like, yeah, good. You know, I need to bounce anyway. I'm not liking this life, you know, and it's all her fault. It's not mine. And man, that's when I started really kind of like getting into it, you know, and spiraling downward. And a little bit before that time where we split up, I got introduced to somebody that was an Alcoholics Anonymous, even though, like, at first I didn't know it. Like, we were out at one of those younger bars one night partying, and this dude I knew from high school came in, and he was hanging out with some of my other friends, in our group. And I'm like, hey, I know that guy. You know, and I'm all, hey, let me buy you a drink. And he's all, nah, it's cool, I don't drink. I'm all, wow, really? I was like really confused by that. I'm all, who doesn't accept a free drink, man? What's wrong with you? You know? And so, you know, I kind of kept on him, and I offered him a few more times. And that night, late in the evening, he said, hey, man, I don't drink because I'm allergic to alcohol. I'm all, what? I've heard of allergies before, but never alcohol. That's tripping me out, you know? I got like pretty curious. I'm all, That like stuck with me. I'm all, allergic to alcohol. Whoa. And like, I remember even going to work, you know, and telling people, I'm all, have you ever heard of anyone being allergic to alcohol? Like, what the fuck is wrong with that dude? You know? And they're like, no, man, no, I haven't. And so, like, I saw him a few more times, you know, and luckily early in the evening before I blacked out, because I was blacking out at that point, you know, doing stuff that I don't remember. And waking up in weird places and not knowing where my car was and shit and all that stuff, you know. But I met him. I remember talking to him early in the evening, and I was like, "Hey, bro, I gotta ask you. Like, what's this allergy to alcohol thing? What is it? What is that?" You know. And he goes, "Well, when I'm allergic to alcohol, that means I have an allergy of the body when it comes to alcohol, and you know, I'm an alcoholic." And I'm all, whoa, I'm all, I know one of them dudes. My dad's an alcoholic. I'm all, but you don't look like him. And he's all, yeah. And he's like, hey, man. So he's like, look, I don't know what your deal is, but like, if you ever have a problem with drinking, like, I'm around and you should talk to me. And I'm all right, yeah, that's cool. You know, and so I kind of kept going, but I remember that conversation and that interaction, you know. And like, I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous, but man, that was the last place I wanted to go, you know. Like, I mean, in my mind, like, I still was in my 30s, and I was just getting started, you know what I mean? But after that marriage, like, I started really thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, man, like, all this bad shit's starting to happen, and it kind of like, the common denominator seemed to be this, you know, that alcohol. Wow. Is it the alcohol? What's up? Like, okay, well, alcohol comes first, right? So I, you know, before I go out, I have a couple of beers, and then, you know, I take a couple of shots of Patron, and then next thing you know, I'm doing lines, and next thing you know, I black out, and I get beat up, or I get in a fight, or I wake up at some weird chick's bed, or I wake up with like $2,000 in my pocket, you know, that doesn't belong to me. Like, so like, what's up, you know? But like, so I got to go back to that first thing, right? Like, hey, maybe it is the alcohol, you know? Deductive logic, right? Like, maybe the alcohol? All right. So, anyway, one of those days when I did that deductive logic, I'm like, you know, found the car, called all my friends and asked them what happened last night, you know, are you missing $2,000, you know? And I did that deductive logic, like, hey, the alcohol, I called that guy, his name was Fred, on the phone, and I said, hey, man, can you come over to my house? I want to talk to you. And he's like, yeah. And so he rode over, and like, dude has no class, you know, he just rides his motorcycle right up on my fucking grass, you know, in my house, you know, parks his bike. I'm all right, whatever, you know. And I'm all, hey, all right, look, so I got to ask you some questions about this allergy thing. Like, what is it? You know, so he explains the allergy of the body, man, and the obsession of the mind. Right. And I'm like, okay, that sounds kind of technical. Let me just ask you, like, in layman's terms, what's up? Like, hey, I drink and then I do this. Did you used to do that? He's all, yeah. And I'm all, hey, when I drink, I do these things, and this happens. Did that happen to you? Yes. I'm all, okay, cool. Time to bounce. See you later. And anyway, he has one of those blue books, right? I'm all, what's that, like a Bible or something? I'm all, I don't want that. And he's like, no, this is a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. He goes, maybe you want to read it. He's all, you don't have to take it, but I'm offering it to you for free. And I'm all, yeah, all right, yeah, I'll take it, man, thanks. And I'm all, hey, I appreciate your time, you know, don't park your bike on my lawn next time, and then, you know, see you later. You know, but, and like, you know, that wasn't enough to stop me, man. But I did ask him to take me to a meeting in that interim, and we went to this really cool meeting. It was big. There was lots of people there. It was at a big church. I hated that fact that it was at a big church. But like, there was some dressed up people that looked like they had their shit together. And I'm like, well, they're a bunch of fakers, right? You know, like, you know, they got their little cult going on, and that's cool, you know, whatever. But like, there's free food and shit, and like, some of these chicks are cute, so I'm gonna check it out. And so I went in there and like, hung out in the back and kind of like, looked at what I liked and laughed at what I didn't, you know. And I remember there was some dude talking up there that had a suit on and a tie and a big old ring. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That dude looks cool. He's probably the president of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? You know, that's kind of what I was thinking. You know, kind of like, well, you're probably thinking about me too if you're new. Like, well, I'm not. You know, I'm just a regular dude in here, just like anybody else. I'm just a regular dude, just like you, trying to get another day sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, man. That's what I'm doing. You know, I'm not, you know, the reason that I get dressed up is out of respect to you, out of respect for myself, out of respect for this group, and out of respect for Alcoholics Anonymous, because Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. That's what it's about. And anyway, man, like, in this weird way, like, it felt safe there at that church, man. You know, like, even though I didn't believe in God, like, I felt safe there. For the first time, I felt like I could relax. You know, I was all, good cookies, pretty girls, you know, all right. What are these writings? And okay, this is still in a church, so this is tripping me out, like trying to suck me into the God thing, hence the blue book and all that, and the dressing up shit. One of these guys is the president or the pastor, and he's going to start preaching pretty soon, right? You know, but like, that never happened. It didn't happen, you know, and you know, people shook my hand and introduced themselves and said, keep coming around here, you know? So I kind of like tried that out for a little while, you know, but I got like these defects of character that I've spent a long time cultivating. And like, unfortunately, some of them, like, I kind of like, and so, you know, they're like, hey, get a sponsor. Okay. So I get this British dude as my sponsor, you know? And so I started like working the steps with him and reading the books, and I'm going to meetings every day, you know, doing the night. I'm on the 90 and 90 plan and all that, you know. So anyway, one day we meet at coffee, and like, he's telling me something, and I get kind of mad at him, and I'm kind of like raising my voice at him and stuff. And he's like, well, you can't yell at your sponsor. I'm all, well, I just did. You know, well, you're not doing anything about it, you know. But, like, I don't get it. You know, I just don't get it, man. You know, like, and he's like, well, hey, you can't do that. And, like, if you're going to yell at me, I'm not going to work with you. And I'm all right, sorry, you know. And he goes, hey, look, you know, I know where you live. And at night, I see your car, and it's not where you live. And he goes, I'm not your boss, I'm not your dad or anything like that, man. But he goes, I have an idea of what I think you're doing. And if you don't stop doing what I think you're doing, you're going to drink and get high again. And I'm all, no, I'm not, man. You know, so then I'm like, all right. You know, because I got to prove Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't work, you know. So, like, I start going through the big book, and then I find that exact thing that I need to find, man. I'm all, we are not, page 69, we are not the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. Woo, highlight. call Darren, right? Darren, I need to meet you for coffee today. So we meet for coffee. I'm all, boom, check this out. And he's all, yeah, that's right, man. The book does say that. He goes, but you know what? The experience of all of our members is what I told you. If you don't stop doing what you're doing, you're going to get loaded. And so I, you know, I'm on the way, bullshit. So sure enough, I don't stop that kind of behavior. I don't stop being a taker, and I get drunk. And I'm right back at it. I'm right back where I started. Same thing. Nothing changes. Same shit. So I go on a run for a while. I met some dudes at the home group that I talked about, the Junkyard Dogs, and a bunch of those dudes got my phone number. So I'm out, like, trying all the stuff that the book talks about, man, to prove that I'm not an alcoholic, because, man, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this thing, you know? Too much work. So I'm trying some controlled drinking. Fail. You know, I try it again, fail. In nearest bar, just fail. Always just can't drink, you know, can't stop at two, just got to keep going. You know, blackout, over and over again, you know. And it gets to the point where, and at that time, like, my phone's blowing up, ringing, and it's all these numbers I don't recognize, but I listen to the voicemails in the morning, and it's all these guys from my home group. Hey, man, what's up? Where are you? Are you going to come back? How you doing? You know, we hope you're going to come back around, man. Are you okay? We're hearing things about you, blah, 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 blah. You know, and at first I'm kind of mad because I think they're just, like, trying to fuck up my high. But then, like, as time goes on, I kind of realize, like, I'm all, whoa, dude, like, I think actually these people are not, like, really a cult, and, like, they actually do care about me, you know, like, because I'm thinking, like, oh, they want my valuable dollar that I put in the basket every time I go to the meeting, right, you know? And so once I realize that, like, I'm pretty much getting to the point where I'm finished, you know, and all it took was me telling, like, two lies to two people that I loved, to realize that I couldn't end up living like that anymore. One was to that English sponsor. He saw me in a bar and he said, hey, man, are you all right? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. And he's like, okay, mate, as long as you're good, mate, you just keep going, you know. And I lied to him. And then I saw his wife and she asked me the same thing. How you doing, Jason? And I'm all, I'm good. I'm okay. And she's like, all right, well, have a good night, you know. And she left, and I'm all, I just lied to two people that I totally love. I can't live like this anymore, man. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be a taker. I want to find a new way to live, man. And, like, that, all that work that's on the wall in there, the steps, man, I guess I'm ready to do them. But I'm scared, man, because, like, I'm a failure, dude. Like, you know, I'm like the dude that always comes in second place, man. I'm the dude with all the motorcycle gear with no motorcycle. You know, that's me, man. Like, that's a fucking story of my life, you know? Like, I play in pool tournaments, you know, there's 64 players, and I fucking come in second every time. I can't win. Not ever. You know? That was just a story of my life, dude. And, like, so I'm afraid, you know, and I go and I call my friends. I call them back. I'm all, hey, yeah, I'm going to come to a meeting, man. And they're all, all right, yeah, go today. And so I went to the morning meeting, stood at the back door, a place bigger than this, but just kind of hung out, you know. And some dude came up to me who I can't remember now at the moment, but he said, "Hey, I seen you around before." And I'm like, "Yeah." Hey, he's like, "How's it going?" I'm like, "Not too good." He goes, "Man," he's like, "you don't look so hot. You look all white and shit." I'm all, "Yeah, I'm sure I am. You know, I feel sick. I, you know, and like, I don't really want to be here. I'm afraid." He's all, "You're afraid? Afraid of what?" I'm all, "Afraid to walk in the door, man. Like, people are going to laugh at me and shit and make fun of me." He's all, "Nah, come on, man." He just put his arm around me and we walked in the door and everything was all cool. It was totally not how I thought it was going to be. You know, people came up and hugged me. "Hey, glad you're back." Shook my hand. "We got a seat for you here. You know, sit down, be quiet, listen." You know, it was the same thing, man. Sit down, shut up, listen, get a sponsor. You know, and so that's what I did. And there was this old cholo dude that was there at the meeting that I used to see. No offense to cholos or nothing like that, man. I mean, like, it's not like there's any cholos in Santa Maria, right? So, but yeah, there was this old cholo dude, and this guy, I knew him when I was I used to see him in the neighborhood when I was a kid, and this guy would be drunk rolling around in the bushes, man, and like all looking insane and talking to himself and stuff. And I saw this dude in Alcoholics Anonymous and he was totally different. And I was all, "Whoa," I'm all, "Damn, like that homeboy's been to prison, now he's like all sober and shit, like, wow." I'm all, "Dude, if that dude could do this, maybe I could do this too, right?" And so I walked up to him, I'm like, "Hey, what's up? I'm Jason." And he's like, hey, man, I'm Andy. What's up, eh?" You know, and I was like, "Hey, man, I'm looking for a sponsor." And he's all, just walks away. I shit you not, right? Like that whole spirit of AA thing I talked about earlier, man. Like, I'm all, "What?" But yeah, he was like, "Later." And so I'm all, I'm like, I asked around about him. I'm all, "Does that guy come here a lot?" They're like, "Yeah, he's here all the time, man. You'll see him tomorrow." I'm all, "All right." So I come back the next day, see him again. "Hey, Andy, I'm Jason. Hey, what's up, man? How you doing, eh? You know, hey, Andy, I'm looking for a sponsor." So I wait till after this was before the meeting. So the meeting is going on and stuff. And I wait till after the meeting. I'm all, "No, I'm going to grab screw this. He's going to have to just tell me straight up no to my face. I'm getting an answer from this dude no matter what tonight. Because I got to move on. I got to get somebody, you know, or else I'm not going to hang around, you know, because I'm still wanting to drink, you know." And so I follow him outside to his car and I just walk right up to him. I'm like, "Hey, are you going to sponsor me or what?" And he's all, "Hey, man, you got an attitude problem, man." And like, I did what you just did right now. I laughed. And I'm all, "Not really, man. I really want you to sponsor me." He's all, "All right, here's my number." And he gave it to me. And he said, "All right, call me tomorrow, eh?" And so I called him the next morning, man. And he goes, "Hey, Jason, eh? You know, let's go to a meeting together today and let's go through the early parts of the big book, man, because we want to get sober fast, eh?" So we started going through the book, man. And like, this guy took time out of his life to work with me and take me through the steps. And like, honestly, like, I picked this dude because he scared me. Because I knew, like, you know, I mean, I was used to telling people no, and I knew I wouldn't say no to this dude. So he said to do something, and I did it. And he would call me up early in the morning, like on holidays, because he ran the barbecues. He would give me no warning. He'd call me at 5 in the morning and say, "Hey, man, hey, get up. I'll meet you out. I'm going to pick you up outside your house and be out on the curb waiting for me. We're going to go. You're going to go help me do this barbecue." And I'm off. "What?" All right, man. So I get up, you know, because I said I was willing to go to any length for victory over alcohol. So that's what I did. I did what he said to do. You know, and he had a lot of rules. Don't talk during the meeting. Don't play on your phone. Don't, unless you're sharing, don't talk. You know, get here early. Take a commitment at the meeting. You know, be respectful. Don't get up to go to the bathroom once the meeting started. There was a bunch of etiquette that I had to follow. And if I didn't follow it, he would find me and he'd hammer on me. Even if he wasn't there, he'd be like, "Hey, man. You know, so-and-so said, eh, that you got up during the meeting, eh?" You know, I'm all, you know? So, like, I couldn't get away with shit, you know? You know, and he's like, "Yeah, I heard you got a little problem with women, eh? You got to stay away from women, eh? All right?" I'm all, oh, that sucks, you know, but okay, yeah, I'll do whatever you say, you know, because I don't want to drink or use again, man. And so I did all that stuff. And like, luckily at my home group, I had these two guys that had a lot of time and they took me under their wing, you know, and these guys invited me to go to this little tiny book study with like 10 dudes in a garage. And we like went through the book and highlighted prayers, promises, and directions. And that's how I learned about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And these guys were the thumper guys. And I was intimidated by them, you know, because I think I'm dumb, you know, and I'm all, these guys are smart. I don't want to be, you know, I don't really want what these guys have, you know. These guys seem like a little bit too like churchy to me, you know. But the thing was, I really did need those guys, you know, because they taught me a lot. And they taught me about how to stay sober, how to live sober, you know. How to change? They showed me how they changed their life. They taught me about living a spiritual life, going outside the box, not just doing the steps and not getting loaded, about perfecting and enlarging our spiritual life, like they talk about in the book. And I started to, you know, I got into meditation at that point when through these guys. And I thought meditation was, you know, in my mind, I thought it was lame. I thought it was like kind of like yoga, you know, where you go get Lycra and put it on, you know, that tight-fitting Lycra stuff and sit there, you know, with all the incense and shit and grow your hair all long and all that, you know. And like, man, that didn't sound good to me, you know. But like, I noticed that like I wasn't meditating and my spiritual condition wasn't what it could be, you know. So I got super into it and I read this book by Noah Levine that talked about his experience with meditation, and I got super into pursuing meditation, and that's something that's been a big part of my deal for a while now. And like, I love it, and it gives me peace of mind, you know. And it's not the Lycra stuff, it's not like that, man. Meditation isn't just always sitting in a room with incense. Sometimes it's walking, sometimes it's while driving. There's all kinds of ways to meditate, man. It's not as limited as you may think when you're new, you know. But I got really into that, and I love it. And so right as I worked the steps, my friends from the Junkyard Dogs, I was like, I went and I told them I felt all good. I'm all, yeah, dude, I worked the steps. And they're like, oh, that's cool. That's cool, man. They're all, now you can sponsor people. I'm all, what? And they're like, yeah, you got to start sponsoring people like right away. And so we started going to all these H&I meetings and like getting sponsees and like working with dudes. And man, like that's when I first started working with the guy, and I was real nervous. I got a sponsee. I'm all, dude, I don't know what to do. And they're like, just call me. They're like, hey, call me and ask me, you know, I will help you. I will guide you through this. And these guys guided me through like the first guy I ever sponsored and the first few. And like, I mean, I just learned everything about Alcoholics Anonymous from these guys, you know. Like, I mean, I didn't do anything in particularly special. Like, I just found a bunch of dudes that were willing to help me. Guys, I didn't want what they had, but I ended up wanting exactly what they had. I just didn't know it. You know, and today, like, you know, meditation gives me peace of mind, like I said. Perfecting and enlarging my spiritual life is important. You know, and that's not just in meditation. I mean, that's in like 10, 11, and 12, right? And it's like, you know, am I willing to help other people? Am I constantly just thinking of myself? You know? Am I willing to go out there and participate in generosity and not sit around and brag about it and tell everybody about it? You know? Is it ego-driven or is it God-driven, right? If it's driven by God, then chances are I'm gonna have a lot of ease and comfort. If it's just feeding the ego is always hungry, dude. It don't matter what you do. If it's for the ego is always starving and wants food, and it always wants more. And that's what drinking and using was about for me, is that I was trying to fix my inside problem with outside shit. And it didn't matter what the substance was. It could have been booze, cocaine, sex, gambling, all that stuff. It's all the same, man. I'm all trying to feed that and fill my soul with it. And it's never enough, man. It can never be enough. And that's like today in sobriety, if I'm doing things that are just based on ego, that's exactly how it feels. It feels exactly like that. Like I'm just throwing shit down this hole that has no bottom. That's what it feels like. And in sobriety, I've felt like that before. I've had moments where I wasn't really spiritually fit and where I've use shopping or other things to try to fill that void, and it's useless. I still feel empty no matter what. I could buy all this shit. I could win all this money. It doesn't matter, you know? But yeah, like, so the most important thing I can say about what I've gotten in Alcoholics Anonymous is that, first of all, I no longer seek permanence in a world that's impermanent. Because it just doesn't exist. It's a total waste of time. It's empty. I got to live in the now, which is what I wanted to get out of before. But now that's where I live. Because that's all I really got is the now. The other thing that I have now that I didn't, you know, never had prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous is I have a God working in my life based on what I'm willing to go out there and do for other people, based on prayer and meditation, based on inventories, based on helping other people, right? And like that feels good. That fills my soul. That fills that void that can open up again when you're inactive. Well, thank God, man. Like that's the solution that I found in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, that's what saves me from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. It's crazy. I met my wife in Alcoholics Anonymous. We started dating after we both worked the steps and had a year. We both got sponsors' approval. We both went to the doctor to see if we had STDs. We didn't. And then we started dating. Because that's what was wrecked. I mean, like, it wasn't like Jason's going to date this person. It was like I had to run all this shit by other people, and they told me what to do. And vice versa for my girlfriend at that time. And then we started dating. We got engaged. We got married. A bunch of awesome stuff happened as a result of just continuing to work the steps and participate in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, all those promises came true in my life. You know, yeah, I have a lot of cool shit stuff. I got money. I got a couple of cars, a house, a little kid that I love. I never wanted to be a dad ever. But Alcoholics Anonymous changed that. God changed that. You know, I'm glad I didn't miss that. I almost did. I never wanted to get married again. I'm glad I didn't miss that, you know, because I didn't want that either. You know, when I came in here, never getting married again, never having no kid, you know, because I'll just fuck it up because that's what I do. But with the help of all of you guys and the God that I found here, that is not how it's gone. That's not how it turned out, man. It turned out totally different. You know, it's been amazing, you know, to be here, to be a part of this thing, to be active, to grow, to watch you guys grow. Dude, it's been the best thing that I could ever possibly imagine, you know. Now, I have a host of friends today. I have people that have more time than I do that I look up to. I have people that have less time than me that I look up to, that I love, that teach me shit all the time, you know. I'm a student of this thing, not just of the book still, but of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, man. I don't know everything, nor do I want to. You know, there's an old Zen quote, in beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are few. And I operate based on that. I always want to remember that, man. Like, I don't know everything in here. And or about life either, man. I have a lot to learn. I have an open mind. You know, so I want to keep learning. You know, I'm learning still how to love people. Still learning a little bit how to love myself. You know, sometimes that's hard. You know, things ebb and flow in here. But if you're new, welcome. We're glad you're here. We want you to know that you're welcome here. There's a seat for you here. You don't ever have to drink or use again if you don't want to. You're gonna hear a lot of people saying a lot of the same shit in here. And sometimes it's going to get annoying when you're new, man. You're like, dude, I just heard that dude say the same shit the other day. Or you know, that guy said that same shit from the podium, man. But it's like, we're all saying the same stuff, man, because that's what works. You know, and that's what you got to know. But like, this thing can work whether you think you can do it or not, man. Like, you know, I didn't think I could do it, and I have so far. And I didn't think I'd ever get a year, and I did. You know, I didn't think that I'd have the life today that I have, and I do. And it's been about suiting up, showing up, and taking the actions. You know, it's not that, you know, I've seen a lot of guys, a lot of dudes that I was new with, they're not here anymore, man. They're dead. Or they're out there still doing it, still out there trying to get some hustle going on, you know? You know, dragging ass, street level, subterranean, peeking out of the gutter and shit, you know? And like, I see people like that that I know or that I knew, you know? And I mean, that shit, that first death in Alcoholics Anonymous happened right away, man. Like, to some dude that I was friends with just for a short period of time, man. So, like, sometimes it goes that way too, man. So it's just, it's all here, man. It's whether you want to do it or not. It's the action part that matters the most. It's not about what I say, think, or feel. It's about what I do. And hopefully, man, tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this shit again. Thanks.
Yeah.